Hello, Dog Days listeners. This is Chuck Tomasi. You are listening to Chuck Chat Freestyle. This is August 28, 2018. It is the 28th day of the Dog Days Podcasting Challenge. Almost done. It's real now. I booked my flight a long time ago. I have got my boarding pass for my flight to Dragon Con tomorrow. So now it feels real. That's all I got to say. If you want to find out more about the Dog Days of Podcasting, you can go over to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. I'd like to see somebody join at the last minute, put in one show and say, there, I've done it. You know you're out there. You're just waiting for that last day. And the memories continue. My theme for August 2018 is words, phrases, and stories from my childhood that means something to my brothers and sisters, and by sharing them with you, you become part of my extended family, and we can have fun while we're together, telling stories, whatever. So yesterday I told you about the house I grew up in, and a potential ghost story. I don't know if it was a ghost story or not, but the name of the man who built the house is James Picans. And when we moved into the house, there were a number of things left behind, as happens in many houses. I'll attest to that as I got into Phoenix. Standing joke is Mike Manningay left practically everything with the house. The studio, the liquor cabinet, the dining room table, and even a few friends. Well, when we got to our house I'm on the right day. All right, you got to tell the right story today. We had found a lithograph. This is about 3 feet by 4 feet. A lithograph is a hand-drawn map, kind of like Google Maps from the air, but from the 1800s. And it was a lithograph of Marquette, Michigan. The perspective is somewhere over the lower harbor of Michigan, looking northwest-ish. So you get a good view of the town at the time. And you could say, hey, you know, there really wasn't anything past Prospect Street. And now, you know, that's like very east end of town. There were a couple of interesting things that we found on this lithograph. It was color. It was very rare to find a color lithograph. There were several circles around the outer border of this that had prominent buildings. The Peter White Library, our house, which I think it said the something Thurber residence at the time. I don't recall who that was, but it was somebody there. It was fun to look at the house and go, oh, what did they draw? What didn't they draw? There was no carport. There was the driveway came out the front yard instead of out the backyard. We also noticed somewhere around Prospect and High Street, there was a little inscription that said Smithmore Gold Mine. Now, this is about a block from where my sister lives today, which is kind of interesting. She thinks she's in the house that has the gold mine. I tend to disagree. She's on the corner of Pine and Prospect, not High and Prospect. It's 1 mile to the west, Marty. Anyway, so there's always been a rumor that there's a lost gold mine in Marquette. Nobody's ever found it, and I don't think anybody ever found anything in that gold mine. The other interesting thing is the name Smith Moore. He was a very prominent philanthropist at the time. There was a ship named after him, and the ship is in the center bottom in a larger rectangular drawing than everything else. Now, here's where it gets kind of cool. So the Smith Moore ship on that lithograph was in our house, built by James Picans. Now, a few years later, the Smith Moore ship was passing about 11 miles north of Munising, Michigan, where my daughter lives today. This is kind of weird. And it was hit in a fog by a ship named the James Picans. You getting where this is going? All right. So that lithograph was in our house. Now, fast forward a few years, about 90 years, the Smith Moore was being, let's stay on in the time. After it was hit, it didn't sink. It just had some damage to the front end, and it was towed in to Munising. But partway into the harbor, it foundered, and they cut it loose. Fortunately, they cut it loose on probably the shallowest part of the whole approach, right in the East Channel, where the depth is about 100 feet. If you go another couple of miles, it's 300 feet in the harbor. If you go out a couple of miles, it's 300 feet, too deep to scuba dive. But 100 is nice because it's protected from the ice and the wind and the waves. And they said, well, for the first few years, the masts were actually, maybe the first winter, the masts were sticking out above the water. So you knew exactly where it was. The ship was lost for a number of years. In the 60s, it was found by some fishermen whose nets were getting trapped. They were setting their nets and they were getting trapped on the rigging. So divers would go down there and they said, hey, there's a beautiful anchor in the bow. Unfortunately, they wanted the anchor so bad they used dynamite and blew up the front end of the ship. Back end was still in pretty good shape. Later, a few years after that, we started scuba diving on that ship. And we used the lithograph image to draw an image that we had silk screen on t-shirts. So when we had the Smithmore anniversary dive in 1982, we were selling t-shirts with the picture of the Smithmore. I've been on that ship a number of times. It's a wonderful dive, or at least it used to be until the sandbar from Sand Point started encroaching on the stern of the ship. Suddenly you can't go down and see the prop anymore. It's like, well, that was kind of a bummer. But it was interesting, the whole tie-in to us, our house, the scuba diving industry that we had, the charter shipwreck diving, my sister's house. This is all kind of a bizarre coincidence of things. So now you know the story of the Smithmore, James Pecans, their namesake ships, and what happened to them, and how they benefited us. Because working the scuba diving charters, part of the reason why my dad did that is A, to give his kids something to do in the summer and not, you know, whatever we might have got up to, maybe got a job, but this was our summer job from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and it taught us many things that came in handy later in life, like customer service, and we'll stick with customer service for now. That's all I remember. But it also helped fund our college fund. We were required to pay half of our college fees, and then the business would pay for the other. It was part of the deal. And you know what? I can't think of too many other jobs where I could work effectively one day a week. I mean, it was killer hours. Got up at something like 6 o'clock and got home sometimes after 1 a.m. if there was a night dive involved. Then still had to fill all the scuba tanks. But that one day a week for roughly 4 months, June, July, August, September, and the end of May, Memorial Day through the end of September. I think I said Labor Day before, but it was through the end of September. Other than that, the weather started to get sketchy and it wasn't safe. Not that it was always safe when we did go out, but we had options. That paid for half of my college. And I did a part-time job either working at our scuba shop or later at the roller rink or later at the Computerland store to pay for the other half of my books and tuition. So learned the value of a dollar. Okay, I learned that. Customer service and the value of a dollar. Our chief weapons are fear and surprise. We'll get into that now. So that's the story. Hope you found that entertaining, if not a little educational. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. You can find out more about me at chucktomasi.com. Man, that was a lifetime ago. Oh, I haven't participated in any of that in 30 years. And then I got married and moved away. Or actually, I moved away and then got married. Another story for another time. I look forward to seeing many of you as soon as, what, about 24 hours from now. That's going to be fun. And we'll keep doing a few more of these and talk to you again tomorrow, maybe from Phoenix, maybe from the airport, maybe from Atlanta. Either way, I look forward to talking to you. Bye.